possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear loving and gracious Father, we come to you humbly tonight in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, believing, Father, that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and believing, Father, that you came down for a purpose in this hour, and that in that purpose, Father, we might find refuge, and we might find solace, that we might find salvation and righteousness. Help us, Father, to enter into thy glory, which is thy opinion, thy values, thy judgment. And help us, Father, we ask in all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Before you do, let's just open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You may be seated. Now, notice that the Apostle Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. And this word ignorant means to be misinformed. In other words, these people have a propensity to be informed incorrectly. So there's something about spiritual gifts that he wants us to know, and he wants us to be sure that we do not misunderstand what he's about to tell us. He says, you know that you were Gentiles at one time, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. In other words, because you were raised up as Gentiles without a true understanding, I don't want you to revert back to your old way of thinking concerning these things that I'm about to tell you. And since you have had a propensity to be carried away after dumb idols, you may have a pull to do the same thing with these spiritual gifts. But remember, you came out from that type of thinking, so do not ever revert back to that way of thinking again. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And remember, he began by saying not to go overboard about these gifts and be led astray by every wind as you were led to serve other gods that were not gods back when you're Gentiles. So too I believe here that Paul wants us to be careful how that we view the gifts, because he is warning us here that although someone will show or manifest one of these gifts that he'll mention, he's warning us up front that the gift is no evidence that you're even born again. It's just like, you know, the controversy over whether a person is to have an experience or not have an experience. And when Brother Brown talked to Brother Vail, he said they were talking about the evidence, and he didn't say you don't have an experience, but he said we don't go by experience. Now, there's a difference between not having an experience and not going by the experience. Because the real evidence is that your heart is in this word for the day. Now, this word accursed, where he says no man that is truly born again could ever say that Jesus is accursed. The word accursed comes from the Greek word anathema, which means to be devoted to God with no hope of being redeemed. Now think about that. Being devoted to God with no hope of ever being redeemed. So therefore, that which is anathema is doing something like worshiping God, knowing full well it will not do you any good. In other words, totally separated from God. And remember, there were 2 million children of Israel that left to follow God. They left Egypt to follow God, the pillar of fire. And they all perished in the wilderness. And Jesus said that they're everyone dead, which Brother Bram said was eternal separation from God. What a terrible thing. Now, we know that Paul and Joshua made it. I mean, Paul. We know Moses and Joshua were two that were over 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea. But just think of all those people that followed the pillar of fire. They left family, they left home, they left occupation, they left everything to follow God. To follow God. And they, everyone, perished. What a terrible thing that would be to be in that condition. Worshiping God apart from a God-birthed life. Well, then Paul says, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Bram told us that the true interpretation of that statement, he said, is that you might say that he is, but just because you say it doesn't make it so. He said, your life must be a witness to it. It must be manifested in your life. Then your life is the vindication that the Holy Ghost is Lord of your life. So we see the Apostle Paul set forth a warning before he tells the people about the gifts of the Spirit, because people can get caught up into a false security by having the gifts and yet not even born again. Now we all know this is true about tongues. But let's see what other gifts Paul is speaking about here, because other gifts could give you false security too. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's what Paul says, okay? Well, here he tells us that there's many different kinds of gifts, but they all come from the same giver. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, this word administration comes from the root to minister. So there's different ways to minister. The word administer, see? So you see, it has to do with the way that these gifts can be utilized. The way that they can be handed out or dispensed. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which is working all in all. He says here also, there are also differences in the operations of these gifts as well. Now the word operations here means the effect that are produced. So he's telling us that these gifts will have a different effect. Huh? That the effects that are produced by these gifts will have different effects. But they are still affected by the same Spirit, the same God. In other words, the word hardens one while it softens another. And so too the gifts that that Paul is going to tell us about will have different effects on different people. You see, some people would never think to blaspheme a teacher or someone who's teaching the depth of the word. But you might have a prophet come on the scene with visions and they might blaspheme that. You see? So a different gift is going to cause a different effect. And one of those gifts, or maybe all of those gifts, or some of those gifts, are going to prove what you are or what you are not by the way that you respect or disrespect them. You'll notice Brother Branham never disrespected the gifts of God, even when they were like children. Speaking out of turn, speaking out of, you know, remember he had to teach them, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet, don't interrupt the prayer line. Or don't interrupt the altar call, or don't interrupt the message. He said there's a time when you can do these things and a time when you can't. And so Brother Branham laid out an order. And he said, because if you have the Spirit of God, he said, then you have within you the ability to control the gift. Not just blabber, blabber, blabber when you feel like blabbering, but controlling it. You see? So the word operation means the effects that are produced. So he's telling us that these gifts will have different effects that are produced from them, but they're all still affected by the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that's operating all of them. In other words, the word hardens one, softens one. And so too the gifts that Paul is telling us will have different effects on different people. Each one will have a different effect. Just look at what effect tongues has on Pentecostal babies. It gets them all excited and they really think that they've arrived. And some will actually disbelieve the word because of what was spoken in a tongue. They'll believe the gifts even above the very word of God. This is why Paul begins by warning the Corinthians here. He says, don't ever, ever, ever forget that you came out from, and do not ever, ever, ever think to go back to that nonsense. When a seasoned Christian hears tongues and interpretation, he'll take it back to the word. When he receives a dream or a vision from God, he will always take it back to the word of God, just like William Branham had to himself. But the manifestation, Paul says, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, Paul is telling us here that the real purpose behind the gifts of the Spirit is to bring people together and uplift and edify the body of Christ. It's not for you. If you have a gift, that gift isn't for you. Brother Branham's gift was not for him. It's to lift up the body of Christ. It's not to tear down. Paul is saying, though each person may have some different form of God's Spirit manifesting through them, the gift is not given for that person alone, but for the betterment of the common good. Now, let's just see what these gifts are, because remember, number one, they are for the common good of all. Number two, but people can be lulled into a false security by the gifts. And three, these gifts will have a different effect upon each person who is ministered to them and by them. All right. For to one, he says, is given the spirit of the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, the word wisdom here, this was taken from the same word that was used in Ephesians 1:17 that speaks of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. In Colossians 3:16, we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And again, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among you that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, that word wisdom was translated from the Greek word sophia, which means skill and truth in imparting Christian truth. In other words, experience, skill. You see, skill is not something that you're born with. Skill is something that's acquired over time and experience. He says, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, notice in this word, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That word known was translated from the Greek word gnosis, meaning a deeper and more enlarged knowledge. So it was apparent that had they had a gnosko, or an intimate relationship with God, they would not have crucified his son. Had Joseph's brethren truly been filled with the same Spirit of God that Joseph was filled with, they would not have sold him into slavery, nor would they have tried to kill him. Then Paul adds, or had they had the same relationship with their earthly father, Isaac, as Joseph had, they wouldn't have been jealous. They wouldn't have been wanting to destroy him. Then Paul adds, to another, faith is given by the same Spirit. Notice he's still talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, why do people get so hung up when you talk about gifts and they think you're talking about tongues or talking about healing or talking about great super-duper or supernatural whatever? Paul says, to another, faith is given by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing are given by the same Spirit. You see, it's the same Spirit that gives faith is the same Spirit that gives healing. Therefore, it is the same Spirit that gives these gifts to the church, and each one does not necessarily have what the other receives. Just like a father doesn't give to each of his children the same gifts. Well, let's see now, on your 16th birthday, you're going to get this. On your 16th birthday, you're going to get the same thing. So be expecting it. On your 16th birthday, you're going to get the same thing. No. A father looks at his children, they're all individual, they're all unique. One may have their heart set on a bicycle. The other may have their heart set on an iPod. Just to use 21st century, things. And so he looks at their needs or their desires, and that's what a father would give his children. But not everybody's a teacher. I'm sorry. Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's an apostle or evangelist. You see? Therefore, it is the same Spirit that gives these gifts to the church, and each does not necessarily have what the other has. Yet, why then, if a father in the natural looks at each child as an individual and gives them an individual gift according to their need, desire, whatever, then why do we try to rate a child of God by what gifts that child has received from God or what gift that child has not received from God? You understand? And why do some children try to destroy other children by putting down that child of God who doesn't have the same faith or the same revelation that the other one might have? Seems to me, Brother Branham said, as long as they believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord, he said, they're my brother. Did not Paul tell us we each have a measure of faith? So if my measure is different from your measure, why would we think that one is more special than the other? You understand what I'm saying? Faith is a revelation. I've never rated my children against each other. And by God's grace, I never will. Each of my children is unique and different. And in their own ways, they are uniquely born. Just like Jesus Christ was the uniquely born Son, you and I are all uniquely born sons. Because we are different from one another. If we all were born with the fullness of the attributes of God in us, we wouldn't be uniquely born, would we? But we all have a measure. Amen? In Hebrews 1 verse 11 we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hebrews 10 and 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith," that's by revelation. "And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Romans 5, 1 to 2 says, "Therefore being justified by revelation," by faith, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith," or by this revelation, "into the grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory," or the doxa, "of God." So Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. But are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Then what about healing? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? In other words, all these gifts have one purpose, and that is to effectually show forth the Spirit of God among His people. "For as the body is one," he says, "and hath many members, and all the members of that one body be many, there's still one body." And that's the body of Christ. So here is the key. The body has many members, but it is one body. Therefore, it is not natural for the members of the body to fight one another. A body that does that is sick. How many of you have ever taken your knuckles and smacked yourself right in the face on purpose? Well, why don't you do that? They do it from church to church all the time. You got one member of a body fighting another member of the body. Well, you see, that's not natural, is it? It would have to be then a sick person that would want to violate their own body. And if we truly realize that we are one body, why would the hand say to the eye, "I don't need you"? Pluck them out. Huh? Did not Brother Branham tell us bride does not fight bride? Therefore, by fighting bride, you are disqualifying yourself as being bride. Did you know that? Because you do not have a right to choose who you believe is bride and who is not. It's not your choice. And each of you has a right given to you by God's vindicated prophet to believe that if there's only one person in this city, that you are that one. You have a right. So who are we to disqualify others from being bride? He said, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and we've been all made to drink into one spirit. We've been made to drink into one spirit. Don't ever forget that. We have all been made to drink of that one spirit. So although God may choose to place a gift in a certain person, that gift is to cause us to drink of the fountain which is Christ. And if that gift in whoever the member might be does not cause you to thirst more, then there's something wrong with that gift or with that member. You understand? Therefore, I believe the main focus then of those gifts in the church is to try to get his body to hunger and thirst for more of him. We are not to worship or elevate the ones with those gifts, but the purpose then of these gifts is to create within us a thirst which will cause us to want to drink from the fountain. And let me tell you another thing. There is not one fivefold minister that you should fear. It's not scriptural. The only one you should fear is the one that has, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Bible says, fear him. Fear him. So you should not be afraid of any pastor, any apostle, any teacher, any evangelist, or any fivefold prophet. But the one you are to fear is the one who has, "Thus saith the Lord." Therefore, we're not to worship, we're not to elevate the one with those gifts, because the purpose of the gift is to get us to focus on Christ, the head of the body. For the body is not one member, but many. Therefore, though one has a gift that is looked upon as being great, yet that person is not great, but is only just one of the members of the body. The real great one is Christ himself. If the foot shall say, "Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? That's what Paul says. Like Brother Bram said, just because you say it doesn't make it so. And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not of the eye, I'm not of the body," is there therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, I believe this principle here is very important. Too often we overlook the less attractive parts of the body in favor of those who are what we consider to be the gifted ones. Sometimes we think, "Boy, is that person ignorant." But I like what Will Rogers said. He said, "We're all ignorant. It just depends upon the subject." Huh? So when we begin to get lifted up and think that we're better than the next guy, just because that we might have a better understanding than they, we had better get braced for a fall, because it's sure to come, because pride cometh before a fall. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." I want you to notice this. God places each member into the body just as it pleases him. So if you do not have something great, some great gift of wisdom or some great gift of knowledge, don't fret. God made you the way that you are for a purpose. "But I believe he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness will be filled." And that is what I would like to worry about the most. Whether I had a hunger and a thirst for God or not. Because if I do, I also have a promise that I'm going to be filled. Paul says in verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If we were all the same, you wouldn't need me. I wouldn't need you. If we were all the same, who would need Brother Vail's teaching ministry? But this is why God has made us all different, so that we can minister to each other the things that God has given us that are as different from what the other has. If I have plenty of something that you also have plenty of the same, then what good would it do for me to offer you what you've already got? But if I have something you don't have, or you have something that I don't have and I could use and you could use what I have, then we can help one another, right? Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, Brother Branham said, if we were not, if there were not a people, Moses would not have had a message. So everyone is needed. If God gives a pastor an ability to express His word and manifest His life, what good would it do if there was no congregation to hear it, or to recognize it, or to act upon it? Then the gifts that He has given in the church would cease to be any good to anyone, and they might as well be ceased, or cease to be used. Verse 23, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness, more abundant assessment or greater value. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You notice a person who might have a club foot, the whole body. Or you sprain your ankle, what happens? You're using your arms and crutches and things to hold your body up. Right? When you can't hear so well, what do? You use your hands to cup your ears. Huh? When you can't see, what do? You know, you use the rest of your body to strain to find a way to communicate with that person. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, this I want to drive home. We should have care, more care, one for another. Why is it that people pamper the preachers? It's always been kind of a bone with me. When people, they go over and they want to do things for the pastor, they want to clean his house or they want to mow his lawn or whatever, or the pastor expects them to do it without reimbursement, and yet that person's taking time off of work. Listen, I've always said, if you're going to work at the church, that's one thing. But you come to my house, I'll pay you what you're making on the job. That's the way I work it. Otherwise, you've got a hierarchy where one member of the body is more important than the rest. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, God has given us in this hour, God has come to be endoxazoed in the church. He's given us His opinion. He's given us His values. He's given us His judgment. And that ought to bring us to the place where we respect other members of the body. He says, verse 27, now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So what's that way? Well, to find out, we must go to chapter 13, which is a chapter on love. And in that chapter, we find out that though we have all the gifts that Paul just talked about, which includes faith, which includes being a teacher, which includes being an apostle, and all these other gifts to the church, they don't mean anything without love. Because God is love. Therefore, if we do not have the expression of the revealed word in us, then the gifts really don't mean a thing. What good is your gift if it isn't an expression of the revelation of Jesus Christ? How would your body change come? It comes by renewing of the mind. by expressing the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then without the revealed word expressing itself through us, what have we got but a mental conception and a religion? Do you know that Brother Branham said, and just got this quote from, actually from your mother, who she actually found it, I mean looked it up for Brother Jimmy. But Brother Branham said, if you put a person between you and God, you're creating a denomination. And Levon's mother shared one with us. She said, Brother Branham said, if you let a man get between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. Common sense. Well, Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed until the next revival, until the day of your redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Realizing, Father, that we are all children, born into the same family. There is not a hierarchy in this family, but we do have one eldest son who was formed and fashioned after your image, and we're to come into his image, which makes us to come into your image as well. But he is the one that you came visible through. He is the pattern. He is the example seed, as Brother Branham said. And we saw how Brother Branham lined his life up so much with that absolute, with that example seed, with that pattern, that truly people could not tell the difference between the seeds, the eldest son or the son William Branham. Because he had a great gift, and that gift is to get himself out of the way. Now, if I'm hammering a nail, Father, I don't want to be holding it with my toes, or I don't want to be holding the hammer with my toes or with my ear. I don't want to hammer the nail with my head. Every member in my body, my hands, my fingers, they all have a purpose. And if they don't work together, we can do much damage to the rest of the body. So, Father, I'm just asking that you would help us to understand how that we are one body and we have one head, and that is Christ. Help us, Father, to yield to the headship that you have placed in the body. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace.